is up, everyone. I'm your host, Sarah Rudolph, and you are listening to the official Conference USA Bowl Preview Show here on CUSA Insider, the official podcast of Conference USA. Don't forget, if you like what you're hearing on the show, hit that subscribe button on Apple or Spotify, and go like us over on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and Instagram. And if you're feeling extra generous this holiday season, leave us a review and let us know what you think about the podcast. The holidays, like I said, are around the corner, and it is officially Bowl Week. As you already know, four out of our nine CUSA institutions are bowl-bound, and we have three bowls coming up in the next 5 days. On today's show, we'll preview those three games, saving Liberty's appearance in the Fiesta Bowl for its very own preview show that will air on December 27th. Joining me today to talk bowl games, we have the return of Jordan Stepp, our Assistant Commissioner of Communications for Football.
Very fired up to be back. How are you doing, Sarah?
I'm doing great. We are very happy to have you here. And a new guest that I'd like to introduce you to, please welcome our Associate Commissioner over Football and Operations, Trey Stallings.
What's up, everybody? Glad to be here.
Thank you both so much for being with me today. And let's just get right into it. So let's talk some games. We are going to go in chronological order. So if you're tuning in just to hear us talk about your team, check out the description in the podcast notes so that you can see where to skip ahead to so you can hear us talk about your team specifically. So let's start out with the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl upcoming this Saturday, December 16th at 1:45 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. And the opponents in that game, the Jack State Gamecocks, will be taking on the Louisiana Ragin' Cajuns. So let's just start talking about this game, talk about the matchup. What are we going to expect to see out of this game?
Well, first and foremost, I just want to say what an unbelievable opportunity it is for Jack State in their first year, not only as members of Conference USA, but first years as an FBS program to be in this position. Obviously, they earned it on the field and got the opportunity thanks to there not being quite enough bowl-eligible teams to be able to get themselves into this game. So we're very excited for Coach Rodriguez. We're very excited for the student-athletes there and certainly the fans in Jacksonville, who definitely showed out this year, saw the figures today of an average of over 20,000 at each of their home games, which looks to be tops in Conference USA. So a heck of a debut for Jacksonville State. But getting into the game a little bit, you know, a matchup that we see every year in the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl. We've got Conference USA going up against the Sun Belt, which is always a fun battle between these two leagues. This time around, I think Jack State, you know, they are the fastest paced team in the country, running a play every 20.6 seconds. So I think for them, it's a matter of just sticking to the script, getting a lot of volume out in terms of plays. One of the best rushing teams in the country, just really excited about getting to see them play on the big stage in the Caesar Superdome. You know, it's just a great opportunity. And I know personally, I've had the opportunity when I've worked on the team side of getting to experience the New Orleans Bowl. They do a first-class job there. So a very exciting week ahead for the Gamecocks as they head into play this week.
Yeah, I'm super excited to see our team play. This is really a privilege for me just to be able to talk about Jacksonville State in and of itself against, you know, obviously an outside opponent that's not within the league.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm excited just to talk about, you know, really how they've been throughout the year. Just as you look back, you know, them being a newcomer on the scene, really just trying to feel their way through the league. They really came in and surprised a lot of people at their level of play, which was, you know, a really good indication of where this program could go in the future. And for them to be obviously 8-4 heading into this game, it's exciting. It's really exciting. The one thing I would say about this game in general is the fact that, you know, it's really only 3 weeks after the season. You know, their last game was November 25th. And so as you look at that, you know, it's 3 week preparation to get ready for an opponent that they're probably familiar with in so many ways. Knowing it's an opponent that's not very far even from their campus, you know, I'm excited about it. It's really, really a fun matchup, and looking forward to just seeing how Jacksonville State can really, again, continue to make a name for themselves.
Yeah, and let's talk about the opponent, Louisiana, just a little bit and maybe how this matchup is going to look. So Louisiana earned bowl eligibility just in their final game of the season with a win over UL Monroe. So they were skirting by. They barely squeaked in there. And thankfully, Jacksonville State, as we talked about, was technically not eligible for postseason play, but there were not enough bowl eligible teams. So they got that nod. And like you said, a great, great matchup in the New Orleans Bowl, a great bowl game. So let's talk about Louisiana a little bit because they have been playing with a new, I guess he played the last three games, but they lost their starting quarterback and then they've got a new quarterback these last three games of the season, quarterback Chandler Fields. So let's see, I guess, you know, what do you think about how Jacksonville State is going to match up with this Raging Cajun team?
Well, first, as you look at Chandler Fields, I mean, one of the things that stands out to me on paper is just his accuracy. I mean, through those three-plus games, he's completing over 71% of his passes. He's obviously done a good job within that offense. And so it's going to be a challenge for this Jacksonville State defense, which has been very, you know, great this season at forcing turnovers. And I think that's going to be one of the keys to the game is making sure they continue to kind of cause havoc and really put a quarterback under pressure that maybe hasn't gotten a ton of experience, though he's done it the last three, 4 weeks. And one of the other things I want to talk about too, and this applies obviously to every team that's in a bowl, but the value for a team like Jack State to get those extra practices and get those extra reps, I think is really an important aspect, you know, for them as they continue to build and, you know, head into year two as you look ahead to 2024. But, you know, I think this is a team that presents a lot of challenges, both offensively for Louisiana. I think they're a team that in the past has done a very good job at scoring a lot of points. Obviously hung 52 on UL Monroe in that final game to win comfortably to get themselves into this position to play in the New Orleans Bowl. But one of the things that has stood out to me throughout the course of the year with Jack State has just been they look like a lot of fun to play for.
Yes, they
the
do.
The energy on both sides of the ball, on the sideline. Obviously, we talked about the crowd when they're at home. It seems like culture-wise, Rich Rodriguez and that staff have done a fantastic job in just the short time they've been there, which is, you know, wrapping up year two, and really building that culture and that kind of team unity, if you will. Anytime somebody makes a play, it's a huge team celebration. It's not always just one guy going and celebrating the play he makes. And so that's something that really has stood out to me throughout the course of the year and, you know, got to see a lot of it because they were making a lot of plays. You know, if you go to the offensive side of the ball, obviously they had a couple quarterbacks that saw a lot of action in Logan Smothers and Zion Webb. But you look at what he's done in the past several weeks, really a weapon in the run game. I mentioned earlier, this is a team that is, you know, fifth in the country in rushing. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked last time before the Conference USA Championship about how good of a rushing attack, you know, several of the teams in Conference USA have had this year. You've
absolutely
got Liberty, who leads the nation. You've got Jack State, who's top five. And then you've got New Mexico State, who's 12th in the country going into the postseason. So a team that does a lot of damage on the ground, but they're balanced as well. And I think Zion does a really good job when he gets his opportunities at you know, taking advantage of some of the holes that open up thanks to the success of the run game. So they do a lot of that damage behind Clay Webb, who's arguably their best offensive lineman, mm-hmm. Certainly getting a lot of recognition nationally this past week with some of the All-American teams. He's been named second team All-American by both The Athletic and the Associated Press, and somebody who just does a ton of damage to get that run game moving for Jack State. So really looking forward to seeing what they do offensively. But again, on the defensive side of the ball, they force a ton of turnovers. They do a lot in the pressure game at getting to the quarterback, and I think that's going to be key when it comes to Chandler Fields of Louisiana and trying to make him as uncomfortable as possible, especially given his success from an accuracy standpoint thus far this season.
Yeah.
Yeah, completing 71% of your passes is really good as a QB, no matter what level that you're on. So that's definitely going to be a huge challenge for Jack State and their defense, for sure. I will tell you, too, the one thing that Louisiana does as well is they possess the football, which is quite different than what Jack State does. So, again, I think that's going to be a telltale. When you look at really statistics as well, you look at Louisiana giving up about 160 yards per game on rushing. To me, that's going to be a huge indicator in this game because, obviously, as you just alluded to, Jordan, we know how much Jack State wants to get up and down and run that ball. So, for me, just looking at it, again, what's the time of possession? And again, what is Jacksonville State going to be able to do from a ground attack?
Yeah, definitely. And, I mean, okay, so location. Let's talk location because I think this is one thing a lot of people are looking at and it's like, ah, oh, those Louisiana fans. They're in Louisiana. They're going to travel. But we already said it. Jacksonville State fans, they love their football, so we hope to see a lot of you there. But one thing for me is, so what? If the stadium is filled with Raging Cajuns fans, Rich Rodriguez is not going to let that team go on that field and just lay down. He will not. So let's talk a little bit about Coach Rodriguez, what he's meant to this league this year, and just how he's had his team play for 8 wins going for a 9th.
Yeah, I will tell you, I love being around Coach Rich Rod. He brings such a great energy, just not only to his team, but to anybody that he really comes in contact with. He's a free-spirited type of guy, which you can appreciate. He's going to say what's on his mind. But again, it's going to be something that you can kind of take to heart, but it also can make you laugh as well. And I'll tell you, even though the game is being played in New Orleans, obviously we can say that it's almost like a backyard to Louisiana. Right. It creates an atmosphere, though, for your student-athletes. And I think as you look at, you know, just, again, bowl games across the board, especially at the Group of Five level, I think those things are important to really build a unique atmosphere for the student-athlete. So whether, you know, you're playing, let's say, in Birmingham, if it was Jacksonville State, or whether you're playing at the Superdome, obviously with this game, I think it's equally important to create a really nice atmosphere that your student-athletes can be appreciative of, no matter whose side you're on.
Well, and to that point as well, I mean, when you talk location, Sarah, you've got a wonderful destination for traveling fans,
definitely,
really, of both teams to go to. Obviously, it's a little closer to the Louisiana campus. However, I mean, if you're from Jacksonville, you're from Alabama, you get an opportunity to go down for a weekend in New Orleans. I mean,
there are worse locations.
Yeah, there's worse places to be. You know, go get yourself, you know, a lot of great food when you get down there, and have an opportunity to take in a high quality venue in the Superdome. And for the kids, it's an unbelievable experience for them to get to play under those big lights, and you know, have an opportunity, like you said, Trey, to get to that 9th win. You know, somebody that stands out to me as a key fixture in this game for Jack State, and I think gonna really kind of dictate in a lot of ways their success, specifically on the offensive side of the ball, is running back Malik Jackson. He's an explosive player out of the backfield, has done a lot of damage. You know, hasn't done as much of it in the receiving game, but he can be somebody who, if he leaks out, can cause some problems in the passing game as well. But, you know, somebody who gets in the end zone and does a good job at kind of getting things moving from a rushing perspective for Jack State. I'm just excited about this opportunity for those student athletes and for the program to really kind of continue to make their mark in their FBS journey and Conference USA journey, as they have the opportunity again to get to 9 wins, which would be, you know, a wonderful start to their FBS history.
Absolutely. I know I kind of caught you off guard before we got started here, Jordan, and I asked you to come up with some keys to the game. You talked about them a little bit as you were going through, but if you had to pick the keys for Jacksonville State to win this game, what would they be?
I think when you look at it offensively, again, it's just do what you do. You've got Rich Rod, obviously, if you look back through the history of his coaching, you know, he's going to run a fast-paced offense that is no different during his time in Jacksonville to this point. Again, mentioned it, the fastest pace in the country in terms of, you know, seconds per play. I think you've got to keep doing that because that keeps the defense off balance. And, you know, the diversity in their run game, I think, is something that really, really gives them a lot of success, because it gives so many different looks to the defense for them to have to be ready for. And yes, this is, you know, Trey touched on it, you got 3 weeks to prepare. So it's a little different than, you know, going week in, week out for an opponent, because you've got a lot of time to look at tape and get through, you know, your installs on both sides of the ball and really prepare for what you're going to see. But I think the fact that Jacksonville State does have so much diversity in what they do offensively, just specifically in the run game, and then you throw the pass in there as well, which, you know, you can hit some big shot plays on them. I think it's just sticking to the script there with Coach Rodriguez. And then defensively, you know, Jacksonville State, 25 turnovers for us this year, which is third in the country, tied with a couple teams, you know, causing havoc and really getting to the point where you're making things difficult for, you know, a rather inexperienced quarterback in Chandler Fields, getting pressure on him and trying to force some of those turnovers. I know that's kind of cliche to say do what you do and you know, force some turnovers, but really that's the script that's led to Jacksonville State's success this year. They won 6 games in league play, you know, end up finishing third in the league in the first year here. You know, those to me are the biggest keys. And then from a player perspective, like I said, I touched on Malik Jackson and Zion Webb. You know, it's obviously important that those guys come to play. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Jeremiah Harris at safety has been a real, real big key for what they've done. And also linebacker Quay Drake has done some really good things throughout the course of the year. So I look for that to continue as they go into action on Saturday.
Awesome. Trey, anything to add there?
No, I think Jordan did a good job of just summing it up. I mean, again, to his point, they need to go out and they need to do what they do. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, because it almost feels like when they do throw the ball, Jordan, it's almost like a surprise. Like, and things just become wide open.
Yep.
Based on alignment alone with, you know, everyone really getting up to stop their run.
Yeah, and I think schematically it's, you know, they do a fantastic job at setting up those plays. And like you said, once you kind of lull them to sleep with some of the run game stuff, it really frees up a lot for big play opportunities on the outside. So looking forward to them taking their shots and really just having fun. I mean, that's one of the things about bowl games I love. You get to see, you know, you kind of go in your bag a little bit and pull out some trick plays and, you know, some things that you maybe held on to throughout the course of the year. And you're like, you know what, we're going to do it. And, you know, obviously you want to win the game, but the stakes of bowl games sometimes aren't necessarily the highest. There's a lot of things you can take from it. I mentioned the practices earlier on, and obviously game experience for some guys that maybe wouldn't get as much game experience. But again, I think if you're able to hit on some of those trick plays, you know, it creates
a lot of fun.
It creates a big fun environment. The fun factor's there, and then obviously if you're hitting on them, you're succeeding, and it's translating into you know, positive results on the football field.
Yeah, and Jordan, just last thing for me. We talked about speed, right, and pace of play for Jacksonville State, and we not once mentioned the speed that they have on the field. Like, it's incredible. They not only play at a fast pace, but they have blazers on their roster for sure.
No doubt about it.
All right, guys. Well, we are expecting you all to tune in to the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State versus Louisiana, Saturday, December 16th, 1:45 p.m. Central Time on ESPN. All right, let's move on into later that afternoon. We have the Isleta New Mexico Bowl. It is New Mexico State versus Fresno State on ESPN at 4:45 p.m. Central Time. This is a New Mexico State team, 10-win season, runners-up in CUSA, their first years in the league, versus a Fresno State team who at one time people thought would get the Group of Five New Year's Six Bowl nod for sure that Liberty ended up getting. So let's talk about that game, gentlemen.
Well, first we can shift from, you know, early in the afternoon, you can be chowing down on some beignets, then switch over to some Hatch chilies as you get into New Mexico.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, I don't know about combining the two, but maybe give a little break between. But, you know, New Mexico Bowl, obviously a fantastic spot for New Mexico State, a great opportunity for their fans. We touched on the New Orleans Bowl, a great opportunity for fans of both teams to get there from a geographical standpoint. Obviously, the same is true for New Mexico State here with the chance to go, you know, to Albuquerque and really show out from a fan base perspective. And this is a fantastic spot for New Mexico State. They've got 10 wins. Obviously, we talked a lot about them, Sarah, ahead of Conference USA Championship game. But again, 10 wins. They've only ever had double-digit wins once in 1960. And 1960 was a long time ago for those keeping track at home. And they've now gone to back-to-back bowl games for the first time since 1959 and 1960. So the opportunity to get to an 11th win, which would tie a program record, and equal the output of that 1960 squad is something that's just phenomenal for Jerry Kill. Coach of the Year in Conference USA is voted on by the head coaches. This is just a great spot for them. Fresno State brings a lot of challenges as well. As you mentioned, Sarah, earlier in the year, they, you know, knocked off a pair of Power 5 teams. They went into Purdue and took care of business with a close win there. And then to Arizona State, they went into Tempe and, you know, dominated the Sun Devils.
Left the Sun Devils with a goose egg on
the
scoreboard.
Shut them out. And, I mean, I understand, obviously, Purdue and Arizona State weren't necessarily lighting the world on fire, but in terms of going in and winning two Power 5 games, that's fantastic for the Fresno State program. They're going to be dealing with some transition on the coaching side of things. Jeff Tedford is transitioning out. Hope, obviously, from a health perspective that he's doing okay. Certainly wish the best for him and his family with everything they're dealing with. But looking at Fresno State, it's a team that, you know, dropped several of their last few games. But that said, they're a very potent opponent offensively, specifically. Got a very, very talented quarterback in Mikey Keen. And, you know, I think presents some challenges in a lot of ways for New Mexico State. That said, there's kind of a big question mark with New Mexico State, and that's going to be who's going to be taking snaps.
Yep.
Is it going to be Diego Pavia, who we saw leave the game in the Conference USA Championship due to injury? From what I've heard, there's an opportunity for him to play still, which would be fantastic. He's, you know, the conference's offensive player of the year, did some fantastic things to lead this kind of multifaceted offensive attack. He's a guy that does a lot, and obviously being an Albuquerque native, I think it would be a cool storyline for him to be able to go back home and, you know, put on a show in front of, you know, I'm sure friends and family alike for New Mexico State. But if it's not him, you've got Blaise Berlewitz, who made his debut as a true freshman in the Conference USA Championship
that he
game
did.
In a very high pressure situation under the lights, and I mean, the true freshman did not flinch.
No.
He came in and was just throwing darts right out of the gate. Did a very, very good job in trying to keep New Mexico State in the game up in Lynchburg back on December 1st. And, you know, I know they've got a lot of confidence in him from a coaching staff perspective. And certainly, you know, alongside Berlewitz with the offensive players that they have in tow. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I think selfishly we'd love to see Diego have a chance to go out and play just to cap off the tremendous season he's had. But if he's not able to go, or if he's limited and, you know, you get to see both of them, I think, you know, Blaise has done a fantastic job filling in, and I'm sure he's very excited about the opportunity as well.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I love me some Jerry Kill.
Me too.
Right.
I third that.
When we look at Coach Kill, you know, I had a run-in with Coach Kill, and I call it a run-in. It really wasn't really a run-in. It was more so of, you know, him bringing a Rutgers team to the University of Illinois and wiping the floor with us. Literally, almost doing some of the same things that he's doing at New Mexico State, which is, you know, really run heavy offense, but then having the ability to hit the long ball with, you know, a blazer at receiver. It is interesting just to kind of see the culture that he's able to build, or culture he's able to build at his programs. Everywhere he's been, he's been successful.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Everywhere. And you can see it. You see why. You know, he has a awful amount of care just about the people that he worked with, not only from obviously his players, but his coaching staff. Everyone feels what Jerry Kill feels. So I'm excited to see this team. I'm really hoping that Pavi has an opportunity to play. He brings a different level of excitement that is really unmatched in college football right now. Again, you look at a guy who threw for almost 3,000 yards and also rushed for 1,000 yards. Like, those are incredible numbers for any college player at any level. So, again, I'm looking forward to the matchup. I know what Fresno State is and can be. So it'd be interesting to see really, you know, what team shows up and then how well does New Mexico State obviously adjust to that Fresno State team.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. I mean, we mentioned it on the Fresno State side. Obviously, they beat two Power 5 opponents this year. New Mexico State went in, beat Auburn. I mean, they've got, you know, kind of similar like accolades in that area for sure. They're not strangers to being under the big lights for sure in a big time game like this. So let's talk a little bit, I guess we discussed it a little bit, but let's talk more about what Fresno State is bringing to the table from maybe like a player standpoint. They have a very good quarterback as well. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think Mikey Keene, I mean, somebody who, like myself and Trey and Sarah, I'm sure as well, you know, we're on Saturdays watching a lot of obviously Conference USA football, yes, but we've got a lot of other games on as well. And, you know, with some of the Mountain Time Zone games, you get into the opportunity to watch some of the later Mountain West games or Pac-12 games, RIP Pac-12. as a West Coast guy, I hate that that's going away. But, you know, you get the opportunity to watch some of these teams play. And I got to see Fresno State quite a few times this year, certainly in bits and pieces, and then some full games, just watching for, you know, the love of the game.
I got the love of the game.
watching them play. And, you know, I'm really impressed with the quarterback, Mikey Keene. I touched on him earlier. He's a guy who threw for 2,600 yards, 21 touchdowns. You know, he's somebody that is really dynamic as well. He doesn't run quite as much, but he's got the ability to kind of escape the pocket if necessary. You know, and they've got a pair of wide receivers that are really quality guys in Eric Brooks and Jalen Moss. They've each got 5 touchdowns. They're each over 50 catches, and, you know, combined almost, you know, 600-700 yards apiece. So certainly favorite targets of Mikey Keene. And then at running back, you've got Malik Sherrod, who, you know, has done a really good job as well. He's got, you know, a shade under 900 yards. He scored 9 times. So, I mean, they're potent offensively, and they're going to cause some problems, I think, for New Mexico State at times. But it's a fun team to watch. So I think you're going to get a very entertaining game. Again, this one following immediately after the New Orleans Bowl on ESPN. Kickoff time slated for about 4:45-ish, depending on any slides or anything like that. So just keep it locked on ESPN for your Conference USA football needs on Saturday.
But, what a great plug.
thank you. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited about watching this game. I think defensively they do a good job as well. You know, they turn the ball over, turn opponents over quite a bit also. They forced 22 turnovers this year, a lot of those being interceptions. They've got 16 of those, which is, you know, among the national leaderboard, you know, up there with some of the Conference USA schools as well. So, you know, it's a team that is going to be a tough opponent, no doubt about it. But again, a great opportunity for New Mexico State to go into Albuquerque and hopefully come out with that 11th win on the season.
Yeah, Jordan, you mentioned it. Like, again, turnovers are going to be key in this game. I think turnovers have really been an indication of how well New Mexico State will do in a game. Obviously, when you look back over the games that they even lost, like you look at, again, the first loss of the season to UMass. You look at the loss to Hawaii. Right, you even look at the losses to Liberty. They turned the ball over. They turned it over multiple times in those games. In my opinion, while Fresno State is a really good team, they've been a really good team for a very long time. When you look at, again, who they are and what they've done in college football the last 10 years, again, a really quality football program. But, again, I think you look at New Mexico State, you look at the fact they're really playing in their backyard. I will guarantee you that they'll likely have over 20,000 fans at this game as well. It's going to be a home matchup for New Mexico State. And if they don't turn the ball over, and again, to your point about Jack State, if they do what they do, I think they should come out victorious.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one. I was seated next to a few New Mexico State Aggie fans on the way home from Lynchburg, and they were very excited about the possibility of playing in the New Mexico Bowl for sure. So definitely going to be kind of a game, right, like you said, in their backyard. All right, Jordan and Trey, again, what are the main keys to the game if New Mexico State wants to pull one out against Fresno State?
I think, you know, Trey just touched on it quite a bit. I mean, I think turnovers, again, are going to be key, I mean, as they are in most games. But for teams that both kind of thrive on turnover situations, I think that's going to be a big factor. I think no matter who's playing quarterback, taking care of the football is going to be, you know, A1 for New Mexico State. They've got some players that, you know, I think really can be dynamic in the offensive game. You've got, you know, Trey mentioned some of the the Blazers that they've got on the outside. Jonathan Brady's a guy that has done a ton of damage in big plays. Eli Stowers is another kid that has come in and done a fantastic job. Originally came in as backup quarterback and moved over to tight end to get on the field just because he's so talented.
Utility guy.
Yeah, he can do it all. And he's a weapon in that passing game. Can definitely come in and take some snaps and some certain packages as well to get some of the things going in the run game. You've got Star Thomas at running back, who I think is somebody who, you know, is going to play a big part in this game. And you've also got, a couple other really talented running backs in their stable that are going to be able to do some damage here against Fresno State. And then as you look on the defensive side of the ball, I think it's just keeping Fresno State in front of you is going to be a key.
Yes.
Fresno State hits a lot of big plays, so trying to limit those certainly is a key. I really love watching Keyshawn Elliott play at linebacker from New Mexico State. He's a guy who's all over the field, over 100 tackles this year, does some damage in the, you know, tackle for loss game. He's got a couple sacks. Really just kind of flies around the ball. And then on the defensive line, Sterling Webb,
yep,
first team all-conference performer, mm-hmm, big time disruptor for New Mexico State.
Yes.
Need to have him have a good game as well, to get in the face of Mikey Keene and, you know, not necessarily always get home with a sack, but get him under pressure and try to force some turnovers of their own. So those are the things that I see. I love what New Mexico State has in the special teams game, especially with Ethan Albertson at kicker. He's somebody who has been very, very good for them all throughout the course of the year. He was the special teams player of the year, mm-hmm, as voted on by the league's coaches. He won special teams player of the week, I think, 3 times this year. So they've got a lot of confidence in their kicking game, which, I mean, as we all know, not always the case in college football. Sometimes it can be a bit of an adventure.
Yes.
And I think that's something that's a weapon to have for New Mexico State, especially, yeah, if you get into a case where it's a close football game.
Yeah, you hate a game to come down to a field goal, but if it's going to come down to a field goal, it's nice to have Ethan Albertson on the field.
No doubt about it.
Yeah, I would just, again, go back to what I said originally. I think with some of the turnover that Fresno State is facing, it could either be a really good thing, a positive thing, or it can be a negative thing. And I think in this case, that's why I said which team shows up. Because anytime, again, you're not playing with your head coach, I think those things matter, definitely, because it puts more onus and pressure on the next person. So in this regard, again, how New Mexico State also handles, you know, really playing in front of a home crowd, quote unquote, I think those are going to be key factors in this game for sure. But for me, the biggest factor is how will Fresno State deal with playing in a game without their head coach and then playing in a game in the atmosphere that's going to be in Albuquerque that Saturday.
Yeah, I do really think this is going to be one of the more highly contested, highly competitive matchups that we have over the weekend. So be sure to tune into that one. Like Jordan said, this one, again, is also on Saturday, December 16th at 4:45 p.m. Central Time, directly after the New Orleans Bowl. And that game will be on ESPN, New Mexico State versus Fresno State. Be sure to tune in for that one. All right. Final bowl game that we will be talking about this week. We have the famous Toastery Bowl taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina. WKU versus Old Dominion at the Charlotte 49ers Stadium. I'm calling this the vintage CUSA Bowl because WKU is familiar with this opponent, Old Dominion, and WKU is familiar with playing where they're going to be playing at the 49ers Stadium. So I just think that this is going to be a really interesting game. Personally, Old Dominion, again, kind of squeaked into this one with a crazy, crazy ending to their game against Georgia State in the last week of the regular season. If you haven't seen the end of that game, it'll only take you 2 minutes to go watch it. They were down 24-14 in the final 2 minutes of the game, and they came back and won it.
I turned the game off. I remember Trey came into the office later in that day and was like, can you believe Old Dominion got bowl eligible? And I'm like, what are you talking about? I watched them have an unsuccessful onside kick in the last minute of the game and turned the thing off, and they end up coming back to win. A safety late, and then obviously a touchdown as time expired. So obviously a very exciting home finale for the Monarchs as they get themselves bowl eligible under head coach Ricky Ronnie. You mentioned, Sarah, obviously WKU and Old Dominion, not strangers necessarily in any way, shape, or form. So this will be a fun one, I think. Obviously, you know, this in place of the Bahamas Bowl was moved to Charlotte due to renovations taking place at the stadium in Nassau this year. So Charlotte, Bahamas, not quite the same experience, but I do know, you know, from my time visiting the Queen City, it's going to be a great opportunity for both of these teams to have a great time as they get into their bowl week and all, hey, all the things that come with it.
It is easier for the fans to travel there also. So hopefully we have some fans that show up to the stadium for sure.
It undoubtedly is. Now, talking about Western Kentucky, 7-5 this season. I would think if you asked a lot of them, they'd probably be disappointed with that finish. You know, a team that had aspirations of winning the league, certainly in the preseason. They were the preseason favorite as voted on by the coaches back in July. That said, an incredibly consistent program at getting to bowl games. This is their 10th bowl game in the last 12 seasons, which is an unbelievable job that they've done there. You know, Todd Stewart, and, you know, he's overseen all of it. It's just a wonderful job that they've done there in Bowling Green. And while they did not get the opportunity to play for the conference championship this year, they do have the opportunity to go out and get to 8 wins again. And they've got obviously a very exciting offense with their quarterback, Austin Reed, wide receiver, Malachi Corley. Corley, in my opinion, one of the best receivers in the country and somebody that's a lot of fun to watch. And then defensively, we call them the takeaway tops, in this office. And, you know, it's a team that forces a ton of turnovers. And, you know, I think they've got an opportunity here to really kind of put an exclamation point on a season as they head into next year. So looking forward to seeing this one, as these two familiar opponents head off against each other, in Charlotte.
Yeah. Same league, same division, for quite a long time, playing in a stadium, of, again, another division opponent in Charlotte. So it's going to be familiar territory for both teams. I think what's interesting for me is what WKU team shows up. To me, that's going to be the indicator. No, like, no questions about it. Like, you think about the year that they've had to be picked preseason favorite to win, you know, our league itself, and to not even play in a championship game. I will tell you, I know from their administration and their coaches, they were quite disappointed. So what is their motivation? I think Austin Reed would be extremely motivated, knowing that he's the guy that could be, you know, a draft pick based on his play over the last 2 years. You look at Malachi Corley, like, what does he do in his future? But, again, two guys on offense that – you know, at one point in time had really high draftable grades. So how do they respond in these moments, to me, is going to be a really good indicator of how this game is going to go. But again, two opponents that are very familiar with each other. I look at ODU, Jordan. We watched, you know, ODU obviously against Liberty, and they moved the ball up and down the field against Liberty. And it was it got to a point to where that game was, you know, close, at least in the third quarter it was. So those are some things I'm looking at in this game. But, yeah, it's going to be a real fun matchup. A real fun matchup with – it'll probably feel like a conference matchup for
it's
sure.
It's going to be so weird. I mean, I look at, like you said, Austin Reed, Malachi Corley, the dream team, the dynamic duo, the whatever you want to call them. I mean, I think they have to show up and they have to play well, those two for sure. And we've talked about it a lot. The defense in this league, especially at the top, is incredible. You look at WKU, and they had 25 takeaways this year. So, I mean, we've got a highly dynamic defensive team going up against Old Dominion as well. So, Jordan, anything else on that?
I think, you know, as you look at their ability to cause turnovers and really kind of capitalize on them, I think that's the biggest thing for them in terms of success, because they do at times give up, you know, yardage, they give up points, but they make enough plays that turn the game in a you know, regular sense. And so being able to do that, I think, is going to be key. You look at Kendrick Simpkins, who has had a phenomenal season for them. You know, he's a big part of what they do in terms of, you know, coming in off the edge. He's got 7.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss from his safety position. You know, causes problems for the quarterback. He's got 8 quarterback hurries. And he's, you know, forced 4 fumbles on the year, which it's a lot of forced fumbles.
Listen, the Monarchs better watch out for him, because I was just reading this before we got on here. The Monarchs offensive line has surrendered a nation-high 61 sacks this season.
That's a lot of sacks.
That's a lot.
A lot of sacks.
You know, looking at Old Dominion, however, you know, they do move the ball, and they run kind of a fast-paced offense at times. Mm-hmm. And they've got, you know, some real talented guys at running back and receiver. Some that play both positions at times, just to kind of mix things up. I mean, these two teams have seen each other 7 times. Western Kentucky's come out on top 6 of them, including the last 2. The last time they obviously played against each other was 2021, in Old Dominion's final year in the league. And Western Kentucky took care of business there, but obviously different teams, different rosters, those sort of things. So, looking forward to seeing what they can do. I think Old Dominion, they've got a stud at linebacker in Jason Henderson. He's somebody who is on a lot of the All-American lists that have been coming out over the course of the past week. 170 total tackles this year. I do have some questions on some of their statistic taking. I do wonder if there are a few more assisted tackles given than maybe. This is something I've noticed over the course of a couple of years. But that said, I mean, that's me joking a little bit. I'm sure Eric Bohannon,
he's going to love this.
He's going to love that, the SID at Old Dominion. I'm just kidding, Eric. But no, in all seriousness, Jason Henderson is an unbelievable talent at linebacker and is somebody who, again, is all over the field. They had 3 players this year with over 100 tackles. So defensively, you know, they're able to keep teams in front of them and make a lot of plays. So I look at what they do offensively, and you've got a quarterback in Grant Wilson, you know, a shade over 2,000 yards passing this year, 16 touchdowns. He has thrown 7 picks, but they don't make a ton of mistakes offensively. So it's going to be incumbent upon Western Kentucky and their defense to get those plays to really kind of stem the tide and really get their offense more opportunities to get the football. And then, you know, to Sarah's point, you look at what Austin Reed and that offense can do and try and get them going. And then, of course, you've got my cousin, Marquise Stepp.
Not actually
my cousin, but not a lot of Steps out there. So anytime I see a Step that's doing good things, I'm excited. At running back for Western Kentucky, we'll see if he can get his way into the end zone as well. But I'm looking forward to this one. I think, you know, it's a good opportunity for Western Kentucky to end their season on a positive note. And, you know, it'll feel good to do it against a team like Old Dominion, especially with the history within the league.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I think, you know, WKU will likely need to have the same type of output that they had last bowl season against a Sun Belt opponent. But, I mean, they came out firing on all cylinders last year against South Alabama and New Orleans. So, for me, I think with 3 weeks off, that's going to be a really good indicator of, again, who's going to win this game. Because if WKU is not moving the ball offensively, I think Old Dominion is going to overpower them with their run game, and then with their ability for, you know, for Grant Wilson to hit those play-action passes like he did against Liberty. I mean, that was their formula. Because, I mean, as you look at his statistics, he hadn't thrown the ball a ton, but when he has thrown it, it's primarily been with the play-action pass and really looking downfield, even deep sometimes, to get those big plays in. So, again, I think a lot of it is going to be predicated on how well WKU does offensively. I think, you know, with Austin and the coaching staff having about 3 weeks to prepare, it should be, you know, a really good thing for them coming into this game.
61 sacks they've allowed. Get to the quarterback.
Yeah. Key to the game. Get to the quarterback. There we go. Here's your key to the game. Get to the quarterback. Anything else on your keys?
Not really. I mean, that's going to be it. And then, like I said, gaining extra possessions for their offense.
Yep.
Yes.
Which, again, can be incredibly potent. Obviously, wide receiver core, you know, isn't necessarily what it was last year, but they do have some very, very talented receivers on the outside at Western Kentucky, and I'm looking forward to seeing some of them break out a little bit. A player that I really enjoyed watching this year kind of come into his own is Easton Messer in the slot. Kid did a really good job in the return game. And then certainly, you know, has become a good option offensively for Austin Reed, who definitely you know, does a really good job at distributing the football.
Yeah, just consistency, right? Can they have the consistency on offense that we've known WKU to have? You know, just to me, that's going to be the key.
Yep, awesome. And I'm realizing, like, as you guys were talking, I regretted to tell everyone when this bowl game was. It's on Monday. It's, you know,
let's
pull
go.
Up your second screen at work.
Well, Monday afternoon football.
Yeah, throw it on there. It's at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, Monday, December 18th. It's on ESPN. I mean, if you're like us and you're in the office and you have televisions, which is lovely, throw it up on the office television. Let everybody else watch it as well. For those people who just love the game, the love of the game, like we were talking about earlier, it's really fun to be able to have a bowl game on a Monday. I equate it to how fun it is during March Madness when you have basketball games going on all day long. So you've got college football on Monday.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like, I think we need to really just, you know, embrace this bowl season. It's a really good opportunity for our student athletes. Really an opportunity for all the college football. It's what we know. It's what we do as college football fans. So, you know, you hear all the talk about bowl season going away, and then you get around the people who actually really care and play the game. Like, no, like, we love these experiences. Yeah. We love going to different cities to again, just not only to play a football game, but for those people in those cities to really put on the show for the student athletes and the administrators that they come in town.
And one thing I wanted to touch on for our listeners, obviously, we mentioned a lot of players by name. This is that time of year where there's, you know, guys sometimes enter the transfer portal, maybe after recording. Some might opt out of the game. So if we talk about somebody and they're not going to be playing, our apologies. But
yes,
as of right now,
1:11 p.m. on December 12th.
We feel pretty good about the names that we were talking about. Tried to shy away from some that we know will not be active. But again, just a disclaimer, if you will. You know, rosters are sometimes in flux at this time of year. So that then can also change the way the game goes.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We'll be interested to see how that shakes out over the course of the next 4 or 5 days as we get ready for this trio of Conference USA bowl games.
Yes, we are super excited. And, you know, like Trey said, I just want to touch on it one more time. If the goal is for games to be and college athletics to be about the student athlete, bowl games are here to stay, and they should be celebrated. It is such a fun time just to be able to get to bring a celebration at the culmination at the end of a season for these teams and for these athletes. So we're excited. Like Jordan said, 3 games in the next 5 days. You've got 2 on December 16th, starting with the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, Jacksonville State versus Louisiana at 1:45 p.m. Central Time on ESPN, followed directly by the Isleta New Mexico Bowl, New Mexico State versus Fresno State. That is slated for 4:45 p.m. on ESPN. And then to cap it off on Monday, December 18th at 1:30 p.m. Central Time, we have the famous Toastery Bowl in Charlotte, WKU versus former CUSA foe Old Dominion. All of these games will be very competitive. All of these games I expect to be very good. I'm hoping, you know, for some CUSA wins, but I'm also kind of expecting some close scores.
I think you're right there. I definitely feel good about where each of these 3 Conference USA teams are in terms of their matchups. Looking forward to it. Obviously, it would be fantastic if we get all 3 wins. I did want to touch on one thing. I know I mentioned earlier off the top that I had the opportunity to partake in the New Orleans Bowl at one point. And what a great job they did there. I've also been to the New Mexico Bowl and wanted to talk about my experience there real quick. They did a fantastic job as well hosting when I was with North Texas. Just a great experience, tremendous food in both venues. So I'm sure the famous Toastery Bowl people are going to do a wonderful job
I'm
as
sure.
well.
There's
I just
be
don't
famous
have experience
toast.
On that.
There's going to be
have
famous toast.
But wanted to give a shout out to the folks that work really hard for all these bowl games and what they do in terms of the experience for the student athletes. With a lot of different activities that they get to do separate from just the game itself. But, you know, I'm excited for each of these teams to go down to these locations and have a great time and hopefully go win some football games.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. Trey, Jordan, I appreciate you guys for being on the show. Like we said, we will be tuning into these games this upcoming week. I hope you will be too. And we will have a bowl preview show just for the Fiesta Bowl on December 27th. We'll be talking about Liberty taking on Oregon. on January 1st. All right, guys, that's it from us today. Remember, if you like the show, go subscribe on Apple or Spotify. Give us a like on social media at CUSA Insider Pod on X and on Instagram. If you have any questions for us, you can always email us at CUSA Insider Pod@conferenceusa.com. And like I said at the top of the show, it's the holiday season. So if you're feeling generous, go give us a review online so that we can get some more listeners to listen to this podcast. All right, guys. Well, that's it for us. I'm Sarah Rudolph signing off.